hunting for that magical genie with piles of cash? Join Candace and her guests as they uncover financial secrets, have a laugh at past mistakes, and savor financial rebounds. Thank you for listening. Let's dive in and do something today that your future self will thank you for.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Money Flow Genie podcast. I'm Candace, and I have Gregory Kane here with me today. I'm so excited to talk about his journey and financial freedom. Greg, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
You want to tell us a little bit about yourself before we dive into the podcast?
Sure. I'm a lot of things. I kind of call myself a multi-hyphenate. I live in Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm from California. We moved out here about 5 years ago. I have a background in theater. I got my degree from NYU in theater. And then a few years after kind of, you know, trying the acting life out in New York and LA, moved into a marketing business, not a personal business, but in the marketing sphere, and worked in the Bay Area for a long time. And then moved out to Tennessee to be closer to my wife's family in 2020. And I've been in the investing space along with still, you know, doing many other jobs since 2023. So I'm about just over 2 years into my financial freedom journey.
And what brought you to the place of wanting to be in a financial freedom journey? I mean, because that's a decision that we all make at some point in their lives. I'm always intrigued when I see young people doing it in their early 20s, like, oh my gosh, my brain wasn't even there. But yeah. What prompted that for you?
Well, I actually went down that road in my late 20s, early 30s, when I talked about having that transition from being out of school, having a degree in theater, which proved to be very useless after a couple of years, not knowing what I was going to do, getting married and having a child. And so I started learning about real estate and all the ways to make money in that, kind of went full fledged into it, made a bunch of mistakes, kind of flamed out sensationally, and then, you know, put that back in the closet of my mind for a long time and just, you know, settled into a corporate career in tech. And then, as I mentioned, we moved out to Tennessee during the pandemic, and had to leave my job of 15 years because I was working remotely and they weren't supporting full-time remote work. I found myself in my mid-40s with kids getting ready to go to college and not really knowing what the next chapter of my life looked like. And so I kind of reopened that box, so to speak, and realized that I needed to kind of make my own financial future if I wanted to have true independence. So I'm still got one foot in corporate America and still, you know, punch a clock, but have really made the decision that, you know, I need to build a business of cash flow if I am going to really, you know, enjoy the next 45 years of my life.
Yes. Gone are the days of saving money and then draining from that pool. That's kind of like how, you know, a long time ago it was taught that you just build up all of this cash and then you live off a percentage of that. I mean, we could spend a whole series of podcasts on how that fails unless you definitely are a person that was able to save a tremendous amount of money to be able to live off of that. And I just kind of laugh at that anyway, because most people, you want to live your life a little fuller. You don't just want to sit in a rocking chair. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the mentality of the way that savings mentality is taught, it's like, oh, well, you're not going to have as much expenses when you get older. What?
Yeah. The price of everything is going up. The social safety net is, you know, disappearing. We've learned, I think the stock market is a perfect example, huge crash earlier. Now it's up at these highs that make no sense whatsoever. Yeah. And unfortunately, I'm still pretty heavily leveraged in the market. I'd like to be more fully indexed in real estate at this point. But it's just it's an irrational thing. And so I wanted to diversify into industries and things where I could, A, create my own way, but also set up, I mean, nothing is truly passive, but residual income streams, you know, that multiple streams of income line from Robert G. Allen always stuck in my head of like, you can't just be one thing. And so that was really the moment for me that was kind of the wake up call was I worked at Apple, and I'm still there, but I developed all these restricted stock units, which sit in an E-Trade account, and every 6 months you get a notice that says, hey, these are now yours. You know, there's future stocks. And so when I had to kind of give up that role, having all those future stocks kind of canceled was to me the moment that said, all right, not going to be able to just rely on big corporate America to carry me into sunset.
Right. It's definitely a different way of thinking. And I find, you know, I've been an entrepreneur all my life. I've worked like maybe 2, 3 years for corporate America. And that was in my early 20s. So I, in a way that, I mean, it doesn't count. It's to me, it was like chewing on glass because I'm such a strong-willed, I'm a creator. So I like to be able to put my ideas out there. That's how we ended up really connecting, because the minds going into the art world and in majoring in the arts, there's a different way and a perspective of which you look at things. They're very similar but different fields. I'm a sculptor, installation artist, and you in the theater realm. So before we get too deep of a deep dive in like perspective and how we're doing and what we're doing with our journeys, I like to have a part of the podcast, this self-praise showcase, and that's to hold space for you and also allow listeners to hear and then therefore give themselves permission to be proud about something that they have accomplished, whether it's big or small. And so I would like to hold the space for you to share something that about yourself that you're really proud of yourself for.
Thank you. And I do beat myself up a lot about, you know, not having gotten to a certain place, but I do this. It's kind of the gap and the gain. If you're familiar with that book, you kind of need to
Yes.
not just always be focused on the gap of where you want to be, but I'll be looking back and saying, look at how far I've come. I think that there's a lot of things that I could self praise about, but you and I sort of met through this slow flip community. And that's, you know, where I've really decided that I want to be right now. And I'm definitely an action taker. I'm kind of a graze all the buffet of different investments, but I always make sure to take action. I've been in this particular thing for about 3 or 4 months, and I've got 8 properties through partners that I've you know, closed on and purchased. I'm now working to sell and get filled. And so I need to take a step back and say that, you know, for just 3 months of being in this particular investment realm is quite an accomplishment. And there's ups and downs. I've got certain ones that haven't filled yet. I've got one that I decided to sell, you know, for cash versus for payments. But just taking that action and believing the process and forming partnerships, I think that's something that I do really well is create alliances and partnerships, because I think it's a great way to grow in this business.
Wow, that's really to be able to pivot. It's not easy pivoting from one strategy to the next. And, you know, just for the listeners to know that when we refer to slow flips, we're talking about we're buying homes and then we're basically reselling them with a contract for deed. And it's to people that don't necessarily qualify for a loan from traditional banking, or they don't have the cash. They do have some, but they're just stuck in this rabbit, you know, this gerbil wheel of life that the harder you work does not necessarily mean you're going to get out of that wheel. And so it's giving people a chance to have home ownership, which I was there at 27 years ago. So I totally identify with that. So pivoting into that, what were some of the feelings that you went through? How did you overcome those, the unknown, and understanding exactly how to dive into that?
I think it helps to see people who have had success in it, and surrounding myself and hearing, taking in stories of people who are really making their bread and butter. But the thing that I've enjoyed about learning about real estate this, you know, over the last couple of years is just the power of being the bank and providing financing. I first started studying node investing, which is where you can buy and sell mortgage notes from banks or from people who have carried back, a seller finance note. And so that piqued my interest. And then I've been a private lender where I've funded other people's fix and flips or their mobile home flips. And so that part about being the bank, that always seems to me a really strong position to be in, and creates wealth, to be honest. And I mean, you have to do it the right way, and there's certainly a lot of problems that can come up, but I've been spending a lot of time over the last couple of years doing fix and flips and playing that roulette wheel of let's hope we get it done, and let's hope we get it done under budget and fast. And then once we do all this, let's hope that the market or the economy hasn't completely changed. And so at the beginning of this year, I took on a bunch of fix and flips with a partner. And, as we've seen from tariffs and some of the immigration stuff that I think will affect our economy, that, trying to play that game of selling everything for top dollar in a thriving, seller's real estate market isn't always dependable. And so I've known that the shift needed to happen for me to move towards affordable housing and being a provider, a resource for affordable housing, whatever that meant. Because I just, all of the writing that I'm seeing on the wall is that things are just not affordable for the middle class, for a lot of people. And so here was a strategy where I could make some good money, but also, cater towards that really important need.
And exactly. And we're both on the same page with that. It's one of those places where you hear the housing, there's a housing crisis, there's no housing, but you don't see anyone wanting to do it. And part of the reason is it just doesn't make sense in the numbers. In, like, for instance, in an area where I'm living, it's you can't buy a house within, I don't know, I want to say like maybe 30 miles from me, that's really close to $1 million. It's just how somebody that's working, just like a regular service-based job, going to be able to, you wouldn't even qualify for something like that. And the vacation ownership and let's rent and become wealthy in certain areas that really worked well, it really flooded the market here. And there was so much to choose from, you have competition. So that doesn't work either, to think that, okay, I'll buy this house, I'll do vacation ownership rentals, I'll pay for most of it, and then I'll live in it. And that's what some people do. They live in a campground or they live in a little tiny shed on their land and rent out their house.
Yeah.
It doesn't
You're
work
talking
that
about specifically Cape Cod.
Cape Cod, yeah.
I
Some
mean,
people
I
do
live
that.
in Knoxville. We're close to Sevierville and Pigeon Forge, which has become, just an absolute glut of vacation homes. And they do well. I just, looking at that as a sort of long-term viable investment strategy, just didn't seem to make sense to me.
No, and I'll tell you one reason I know, because part of my landscaping business is property management that I do. And I tend to help a lot of my clientele with their renters. And let me tell you something, it is a full-time job to do that. It just happens to be I can arrange that I'm working on the garden while I know those people are arriving or something that they need, but it's not a hands-off business. You have turnover, you've got to make sure it's cleaned, you've got to make sure you meet a demand, like I can't figure out how to work the thermostat at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's like really interesting things that happen with it.
Yeah.
But let's go back to you and your journey into all of the nuances of, first of all, choosing real estate. Like, why real estate? You were in the stocks, you saw the end of the Apple stock building portfolio. And you realize that you needed to diversify. So that stage in your life, I mean, hearing you say, you had lost your job, you'd moved to a new location, and you have teenage kids, which is already that in itself meeting the needs and the demands of their needs financially. How do you do that? Are you in a home where you both are working, or is it all the income coming from your side of the marriage?
My wife works. She's a therapist, and also she coaches acting. And it's been a challenge, quite honestly. The last I had my contract ended in October, and then I had a period from October to May when I wasn't employed, was doing a bunch of investing. I got my mortgage license. I was applying for jobs. So I was kind of straddling the investment world and the corporate world while, with the reports of layoffs were growing and AI was replacing jobs. So it's not a great time to be, looking for a traditional job in tech or in anywhere else. And so being an entrepreneur and creating my own opportunities still makes the most sense. And, real estate versus crypto, I know people are very successful with crypto. I still get it, but it's not something that I wanted to learn. But for real estate, it's a basic human need at the end of the day. Now, and I mean, again, point to short-term rentals. Vacations are nice. It's not a basic need, but so I mentioned mobile homes earlier, which is I'm still interested in. They have a real big stigma, but I'm in East Tennessee. There's mobile home parks everywhere, and people buy a plot of land and put a brand new double wide on it and sell it for almost as much as they sell, a stick built house. So I don't know where I'm kind of going with all that, but real estate has always seemed like one of the best ways to grow wealth. That or creating a business that had that you you know has legs and can you can multiply yourself and your efforts. So in my real estate business now, I'm really trying to figure out how to focus on one strategy and start developing systems so that I can scale and do this and not be so in the weeds with everything. And that's what I've seen with people who run short-term rentals is it is a lot of they're self-managing, it becomes a lot of that. And the slow flips, what we do has turnover and does have headaches. But hopefully I can grow to a scale where I can outsource a lot of the things that I don't think I'm great at and focus on what I am, which is growing partnerships, hopefully raising capital and finding new opportunities.
It's really an interesting concept to think about when entering into a new realm under one genre. So we have real estate, that's a big umbrella, and there's multiple ways to pivot in that and diversify yourself within that, between just diversifying in a market, doing the same sort of strategy, but moving to a different market because you're going to have different returns. But the main thing that I see, and often, and I've done it myself and I have to remind myself, is that focus in on just one strategy, one area first. Get that, like you're saying, get that up and running. Not to, it can be automated to the best of the ability of whatever software system and whatever strategies that you're doing. But at the same time, it's really easy to particularly to like scroll on Facebook and find somebody else's, they've jumped over to multifamily, or they've jumped into mobile home parks on a bigger scale. And then that you start seeing, I own X amount of doors, which in reality, people, it means nothing. If you have somebody that's saying, I have made X amount of dollars in my checking account, then that's the person you want to listen to. But when you hear these people talking about the number of doors and they manage a $50 million portfolio, that doesn't mean anything. That just means they're a general partner in a couple of deals that equal, and really in these larger deals, it's very easy to get to $50 million. I'm a general partner in an $11 million deal, but have I received any funds from that? No, not a dime. I'm working for free until the end of the business plan. This is what you're not hearing. And so I'm just saying this because, knowing that any business, no matter what it is, whether it's multifamily, whether it's mobile home parks, whether it's single family homes, you have to give that business, or a landscaping business, any type of business, you have to give that business time to season, to get it running. Is this lucrative? And pivot if you need to, or this is running, this is good, I like this model, now let me add on to that.
Yeah. And I've been doing a lot of pivoting and it's made me feel kind of unmoored. I was doing sort of short-term private lending because, you could make 15 or 20% on your money in 3 to 6 months. But what happens when that flip doesn't sell or the partner that you've invested in is not, reputable? I had, several of those deals right out the gate because you get into an investment community and everyone says, oh, this is great. Just get into it and you'll figure it out. And then, the fix and flip thing, because, it was Knoxville is a growing market and a lot of people moving here. And so we were seeing a lot of appreciation. But then, of course, things have kind of tapered off this year. Definitely a lot of pivoting is happening, and that can make you feel like, oh, I'm not, I'm just kind of like I use that word, unmoored, rudderless. And so I'm trying to really stay focused on what the goal is, which is to develop a stream of cash flow because I do, I have bills to pay and I want to kind of create something that can pay me every month.
And that's key in thinking about building wealth, because it's just like, we had, just talked earlier about you don't want to drain from your savings. You want to have your savings building and in excess to whatever it is that you're figuring out what your living expenses are going to be. So have you projected into the future? What do, when I get to my financial freedom, do you have a date? Like, have you set a date? Do you have a date? How are you looking at that? How are you evaluating? Where do I need to go? And kind of working backwards to start with where you are now. Do you think that way around your journey?
I'd like to. Yes, I feel like my goal setting is very loosey-goosey, and it's always like, oh, 5 years. I'm kind of setting that thing. My daughter is going to college this coming year, and so she'll be done with college. So I would like it to be in 5 years. And what that looks like, today is properties or notes, whether they're a contract for deeds or whatever, that pay me on average between 300 and 800 a month. So I take what that number is to sort of replace the income that I was making when I was comfortable a couple of years ago, and then divide in the number of properties that I need. I have a goal written on my whiteboard right there that says I'd like to have 25 of these slow flips by the end of 2025. I've gotten 7. I think one thing that's standing in that way is just capital partners, because I can't fund all these myself. So I'm really trying to focus on developing relationships with lenders and JV partners to explain why I think this is a model that is worth exploring. So that's my roundabout. At 5 years, I would like to be, and then and I definitely study a lot in visualization and Bob, getting in that mindset and that feeling and trying to have a good picture of what is that little or whatever that really lights you up in terms of now I'll know that I'm like comfortable. And I've always been someone who's loved to travel. My mom was a travel agent. I kind of feel like that's my birthright. I haven't really been able to do as much of that just because I've been in survival mode. And so like for me, I love skiing and that's a very expensive hobby. And so like the vision for me is like taking my son to like Utah, where I used to ski as a kid, and staying in some nice place and being able to go skiing without, worrying about what it's costing. So in 5 years, that's where I'd like to be, is taking a stress-free ski trip.
That's a beautiful image. I went skiing. I learned how to downhill ski for the first time in Utah. Not recommended for people that are learning because Utah is like serious ski land. But I had cross-country skied before and did a lot of that there. This was many years ago. So beautiful. A whole herd of elk came through across the trail. You could hear their hooves just choo, choo, in that
Yeah.
crunching snow. It's just beautiful. To me, that's what life is about, is
Yeah. And so that's
creating
why I'm
memories.
trying to do this sort of thing is, and I wish that when I had my big, I'll call it a failure, because it was a failure, and I can admit that, before my daughter was born, and I kind of, ironically, when I was first studying real estate and made some of those mistakes, it was 2007, right? As everything was just cresting. So that's when I decided I was going to learn how to invest in real estate. But I do wish that I'd kind of, started this journey 10 years ago so I could be a little further along. But, this is where I'm meant to be at this point. And, I'm still fairly young. I'll be 50 in 2027. So, yeah, for me, I think 53, 55, I'd like to have that passive income machine like fully churning.
That's beautiful. And to think about, there's no, the time to start this journey is now. It's never too late. Listen, I'm 60 and I started this particular strategy. I kind of jumbled through it 4 years ago. But like you, was ran out of money because I was, funded the first one. But it's do performing beautifully. And then when I found this mentorship group that we joined, it was really nice to have first of all, someone that's been doing it for a long time to hear the experiences. I see all the mistakes that I made. And then jumping in. And by the end of, well, we had to postpone the closing, but by the end of next month, I'll have five. So, which is really great. And understanding, in this journey, even just as I was talking about, giving business time to season, we have to work through and make sure that we get these properties up, running, and functioning in a cash flow basis before we start just buying bundles and bundles of them.
Yeah,
Because
I
then,
agree.
then as we've heard said, basically you're just buying a tax bill
Right.
with all of that. But I love how you're looking at what is it that I want to do for your future? But I want to ask you and challenge you now, what are you doing now with what you have to live the life that you want to live in the future? Do you understand what I'm saying? Is there anything that you do now that helps feed that and know that you want more?
I'm definitely taking, like I said, steps towards buying, more slow flips and learning what I don't want and the things that don't work for me and why that is. And I think learning that I do like to be more in control versus, being a lender where you're just, sending the money out and hoping someone will execute on it. So more partnerships and less, passive investing. And so, yeah, I guess I'm a little confused about the question, but
That's
can you,
okay.
yeah, can you
I'll give you
elaborate
I'll
on
give
it?
you a concrete example.
Okay.
So, I participated in a coaching program with a woman, Mary Morrissey. I really enjoy her teachings. It's a comedy. She was best friends with Bob Proctor, by the way, and Bob would be texting when she was on stage, talking about the law of, and the scientific evidence about the law of attraction. Just amazing, brilliant woman, and spiritually connected, which was really important for me as well in all of the journey, because we are not alone here. Somehow we have something, whether it's a higher power or whatever it is, but there's some other force that's helping us along, whether we may not see. And to the point where I've gotten to the point I just do synchron I have a synchronicity journal, because it's like you just can't make this stuff up sometimes. But for instance, what I'm talking about in living your life now with what you have, because often we see what we want in the future and we work really hard to get to that point. Sometimes things in life happen and may postpone that time. It may not be 5 years, it may six. Sometimes, and I've seen this happen with a lot of clients, work, 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 work. When I dot, 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 I'll do this, dot, dot, dot. Well, what ends up happening is the dot 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 becomes they died of a heart attack,
Right.
and they never experience what it is that they were trying to do.
Right.
And watching that, and then also being a part of the studies of the law of abundance and the law of attraction, and in order to continue to motivate ourselves, what can we do right now with what we have in order to live a life that we will always be building on if we are looking at our lives in the future to build a better life, then we are actually always going to be growing, because in order to have an expansive life, you're always going to be learning new opportunities. So, for bringing this all back around as in a concrete example, is that I love falconry, and I would just to be able to be certified to own a falcon or a hawk or any kind of bird of prey. I would have to retire, move temporarily to another state or another town far away from me to get the hours, apprenticeship. That's something that I have, on my list that I would love to do for the future. And so I just happened to, my partner was actually about to want to adopt a parrot. I went with her to the foster parrot rescue, and I never thought about parents at all in my, thinking about them. But when we went there, I saw the similarities, because they are very much like a bird of prey. And what I was really drawn to was a blue and gold macaw, and the character, the whole aspect of them is very similar to that of a bird of prey. And so I ended up as like, this is interesting. I can't have, an aviary with a hawk, but I sure can have an aviary with a parrot. That's pretty close. And that'll be like, pre-training, to because they're like they're the intelligence of a toddler. They're really, really smart. You can't tell them what to do. You have to give them choices, and the end result is hopefully what you want. So it teaches you patience. So I got the macaw. Her name is Commander Squid Johnson, and she's 4 years old. She will probably outlive me, which is kind of weird to say because usually our pets don't. And that is a way that I'm able to live the dream of falconry, in a different perspective, but very similar. That's what I mean. So, like, what do you, is there anything in your life that you can see or you can think about, like, hey, this is what I want to do. Let me see how I incorporate some of that to live your dream now.
Yeah, and I think about this a lot. I'm like, is my dream to be like a real estate investor and own a bunch of properties? Is that the thing that lights me up? No, that's just a vehicle to kind of get to what I'm really looking for, which is to have adventures and experiences and to create things. I still do theater as regularly as I can. I've had to turn down a couple of offers recently because I'm too busy trying to provide. But yeah, for me, I think it's two things. It's having adventures. I'm a paddle boarder, so I do a lot of stand-up paddling, and that's kind of one of the things that I think about. I mentioned the skiing. I also like to have, journeys and adventures to go to beautiful, clear water and go paddle boarding. So, that is something that I'm always doing is keeping staying close to the water and keeping my body in shape so that I can, manage those longer adventures. I would like to own a theater one day or have a creative collective, whether it's a bookstore or I've always thought it'd be great to have like a performance space where we could produce shows and give a voice to that. So those are kind of the two places that sort of really light me up in terms of the person that I am. And what I've also found, we were talking about this at the beginning, since I moved to Knoxville, is being in the natural world and all the tree. I have a 5-acre property, and so I've planted a lot of trees and been harvesting seeds and that sort of thing. So that's been a fun thing to geek out on recently, and just kind of make all the noise and the stress of all of my anxiety about money and the economy and all the other madness in the world, and just kind of bring it back down to things that feel elemental and feel eternal,
Those are the moments that really bring the peace to the mind. And that's when the aha and the little tiny ideas start to really flourish.
So right now all the dogwood trees that I have are sprouting their fruit and they're falling off the trees and chipmunks are eating them. And so I've been collecting all these berries to harvest the seeds so I can grow new trees. And I did this a couple of years ago, and those trees are now getting old enough that they're ready to transplant and put around the property. And so there's something been very meditative of collecting like a jar full of these berries and mushing my hands in the seeds and getting that kind of, smell on my fingers and, finding these little seeds and putting them in some water to soak. And just kind of knowing that I'm helping, continue the process of nature moving forward. And the chipmunks do a good job of it too, because they eat the seed and then they poop it out and then it ferment, it still propagates in the ground, but I'm just, trying to control the process a little bit.
Oh, wow. I love that. And I just want to touch back on what you had mentioned before. Because you're controlling what goes in your brain and what comes out of your brain, what you let go, what you take in the information you need and you leave the rest. And the ability to do something like that, to filter, is by connecting in with nature. I think a lot of people don't necessarily do it as much as they really should, because it is a very grounding source to just filter out the
It's a
garbage that you
survival
don't need.
mechanism. I'm gonna be perfectly honest with you. I've been waking up at 4 or 4:30 every morning, and it's personal survival that I'm worried about, but I'm, definitely concerned about our survival as a species and as a country. So there's just it's a very uncertain time right now, and so I'm solving that by throwing myself into my exercise, the connection to the natural world, and really trying to build a business that can sustain itself. It's been a real challenge.
Yeah, I agree. It's not, this is not, this is why I brought the podcast around. This is, there are challenges in the world. Sometimes we can just feel alone in it. A lot of times people don't want to, they'll get involved if something is, if it really doesn't require anything of them. That's what I've learned, unfortunately, for the most part. And so that to move forward, I really like your concept, and I've heard you mention the word control several times. We have to take control over our lives at some point. There are things that we can't get control over, but there are things that we can. And I like the concept that you have repeatedly brought up here in a theme, is that you're taking control in your business that you're forming, where you really have control of the operations. The one thing about passive income is great. You get money if everything goes well, sent back to you. You have to have money in order to get that interest, so to speak, for something. But in coming into a business where you're actually taking a little bit more control and responsibility, you have a sense of a higher return. When you have more control, then you're able to pivot when those moments that maybe this return is not going to come out. Let's make a decision right here and now to make this continue to work. And the whole point of the business is to make a profit.
Right.
And that is something that I think a lot of people don't understand, is that starting a business, you really do need to be in the operations. You really need to understand the operations. And you need to be able to direct people. If you don't want to be the person doing it, you really need to know how to do their job in order to direct them well. Or
Yeah.
otherwise, there's going to be a lot of money left to the table, or there's going to be no money in the bank account.
Yeah. The bookkeeping and accounting is definitely where I've been lacking and struggling, because it's just not, something that I'm very good at. And that's hopefully why you bring on experts to help you.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. Well, this has been fantastic. I feel like this is a really great place for closure for the podcast, and then and just how you've brought everything around of like moving towards your financial journey, not giving up, pivoting, understanding that there's a limitation of how much you can take, and how can you nurture yourself. And for you and I both, it's through nature. I mean, that's just a wonderful thing. I hope other people are able to venture out and do that. And it can be only 10 minutes a day. It doesn't have to be like a big event, to do those kinds of things. Just
I mean,
coffee.
even just going outside, like I said, it's been early mornings as anxiety wakes me up, but going outside, let the dogs out, it's still dark out, and just kind of taking the time to breathe and being grateful for this big wide world that we have.
There's a lot to be grateful for, despite what could be happening around us. There's always something that we can find. I had someone come up to me when I was working yesterday, and he was just complaining and complaining and complaining. And when I asked, I said, "Hey, how's it going?" And then as he continued to complain, then he complained that his friend was complaining to him about him complaining. And so I started laughing, and I turned to, and I, because I was, pruning a wisteria, so I had to watch what I was doing. And I turned around and I said, "So basically, what you're telling me that you have, these are luxury problems that you're talking about, but you're letting them consume your day." And he looked at me and he's like, "You know what? These are." And a lot of times, I have to remind myself as well, is this a luxury problem or is it just a luxury opportunity? It's just a matter of perspective. And it kind of resonates with me, the way that you're approaching all of these challenges that you're going through, that one, and I can tell just by way the way you're approaching that you're gonna get through it to the other side.
Lord, I
And
hope so.
you will, because you're smiling, first of all.
Well, failure is not an option, you know.
No, it's not.
When you know that your purpose is like, okay, I'm gonna get these kids through college, one way or the other. I'm gonna keep making payments on this house, you know, gonna figure it out. But there's not really an option, so it can get stressful. But you know, I feel like just talking to people and meeting like-minded people really helps.
Yeah. And failure to me is if you're not taking any type of action. Action could be listening to this podcast. Action could be reading a book. But sitting and daydreaming about something and keep saying that you're going to do something, as I've said before in another podcast, that's entertainment. That's what
Yeah.
we call entertainment. And when we take action, we're
Yeah.
actually doing and we're
Social media
succeeding.
really sucks a lot of that away because it is so addictive. And I use social media to find deals and opportunities, but it just kind of sucks you. And that's the time when I feel like it's a waste because it's, you know, you're getting into that cycle of rage and excitement and jealousy and all these things. It's just a distraction. So,
Yes.
yeah, I
Yeah.
think the only time you fail is if you give up.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You're absolutely right. I agree. I agree. Well, I hope our listeners got as much out of this podcast as I did.
Well, thank you for the invitation. I've enjoyed it.
And I'll tell you this one last little bit. When you were talking earlier about the gap and well, there's a book, The Gap and the Gain, and you had another, The Gap and,
The
well,
gap in the game. That
it
was
was
the
The Gap and the Gain. Okay.
suicide met, yeah.
I recently was listening to every now and then with the different mentorship programs I'm in. I like to re-listen to, particularly the financial education one that I'm a part of, and I like to re-listen to recorded calls just to continue to get my brain out of consumer thinking and thinking like an investor, but more with a banker mindset. And that's a hard twist, you know, and so I'm listening to these recorded calls, and I realized that, oh, I mean, I participated in a lot of these calls, and he comes on and he's asking questions, and I raise my hand and I hear myself asking questions. And this was 4 years ago, and in that moment, it was an aha of how I understood the answer to that question that I was asking very well now. But then it was very foreign and very different.
That's
And
cool.
it's kind of freaky, you know, like, oh wow, hearing yourself ask a question and going, I remember where I was. And it doesn't mean that I have reached a destination, because a destination sometimes can be an addiction. I've reached a different level of awareness and knowledge. And it's really good to, if you can, continue to look back, like you were saying. You always have to look back to see where you are in order to realistically see where you are today and then
Yeah.
make a decision of where you want to go tomorrow.
I have like an Excel sheet of all the private money deals that I've done and little connector referral deals. And it's just, I was scrolling through it the other day. I was like, wow, there's a lot of stuff in here. And there's a lot of, you know, worry and arguments and some that were just really quick successes, you know, and money lost. And so it's nice to have that as like a yearbook almost of all the things that I've been through. And so it is, I do have a coach that I talk to once a week, and he's always telling me, like, just kind of look at how far you've come and you know, did you think that you'd be in this place like a year ago? So I think that's it's really important to measure and appreciate your success.
Yeah, absolutely. Greg, I'd love to have you on in a year on the podcast and see where you are so we can then look back. I could, you
Yes.
know, 5 years we could do a clip of you first talking about, you know, your financial freedom date, and then having you being via satellite somewhere off skiing.
Exactly.
I'd love that. I'd
Drinking wine from grapes that I grew. Yes.
love that. Yes. Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for the
Oh,
invite.
for our listeners too, if they want to get in touch with you, we'll have this in the show notes and on my website. But also, just for people listening, how can they get in touch with you if they want to get in touch
Yeah,
with
I have a website that I mentioned I'm a private lender and also a licensed loan officer, so it's Higher Ground Invest. My business is Higher Ground Investment, and the website is just highergroundinvest.co. And on there you can book a call with me or inquire about borrowing money or being a private money partner. I'm certainly open to people who are interested in investing either in slow flips or mobile homes or things like that. And then I'm on Facebook and Instagram under Greg Crane or Gregory Crane.
And then I just want to touch on what kind of loans for the mortgage broker. Would that be just residential? Like, is that
Residential,
commercial?
commercial, fix and flip loans, debt service coverage ratio. I got licensed earlier in the year, and I've been so focused on my own investments that I haven't really that hasn't really taken off. But it's still something that I'm interested in, and I'm with a brokerage that has lenders or loan officers all over the country and over 200 lenders that we work with.
So not just in Tennessee, you could be a loan
I
broker.
can, yeah, I can refer it into my network to other loan officers. So,
Awesome.
yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much for letting us know that. That's really
Thank you.
important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody needs money in order to leverage and grow. I want to thank our listeners for coming on and being a part of this wonderful conversation. And thank you again, Greg, for being vulnerable and sharing your journey. I look
Thanks
forward
for
to having
having me.
you on in the future. And to our listeners, please, you can like us, follow us on YouTube, go to the moneyflowgenie.com website. And also, the biggest and most important thing is that to remember that you are your own genie in a bottle. It's not anybody else that's going to make your life be what you want it to be. It's you taking action for you. So, I hope this has inspired you that you can do it, and we're all on the journey, and the journey never ends. Thank you so much for listening. And again, Greg, thank you so much.
The info in this podcast is straight from our personal experiences. You alone possess the power to manifest your desires. You are the genie in the bottle, awaiting your command. So, ask smart questions. We're not licensed financial pros, so be sure to consult with a licensed professional, attorney, or tax consultant.